Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
You're gosh darn right you are.
And Mr. There's a blank space by your name, Justin Robert Young.
There's a blue dot next to his name because he hasn't listened to the message yet.
All right. For everybody, the pre-show included a revelation that I'm a terrible friend and Andrew left me a voicemail and I haven't listened to it. And I'm not fighting. I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. I accept all the charges. But just know that this episode is being done under the pale of my terrible friendship stewarding.
Okay, how many blue dots? Okay, of the front page of voicemails that I have, what percentage of them do you think have blue dots on my phone?
I'm going to go 100.
100%?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look. And you can't see it, but there are definitely 100%. They are all blue dots. As a matter of fact, it's not till like the third page down that you start to see blue dots not being blue dots. Don't feel
now,
bad,
what
man.
Is, all right, if you want to give up on, if you want to give up on voicemail, like is it different if my voicemail is like, hey, I never listened to my voicemail, please text me?
No, and by the way, that's the solution that Patrick Rothfuss does. When you call Pat Rothfuss's phone number, he doesn't answer, and his voicemail says, hi, you've reached my voicemail, and then he slows down and says, I will never check this voicemail. I will never check it. If you want to reach me, try sending me a text. Beep. And then I kind of love that. I kind of really want to do
okay,
that.
Okay, by the way, I have no blue dots on mine. So.
Well, because you're a better person than us.
Here's my thing. I try to be mindful of like Justin's habits. I'm trying to figure out I know weekends it's easier to get a text response from him than not. I don't know the way to get hold of him. So that's a thing. I'm still trying to figure out. I've known him half his life. Still don't know how to get hold of him. But with the voicemail thing, I don't do Facebook Messenger. I don't do that at all because I can't forward it. I can't do that. It's unprofessional. It's all this. I don't do that.
I hate it.
What I prefer, for me, text message and email are my preferred way. But with the voicemail thing, if I get a call from one of my agents or whatever like that, and it's an office sort of thing, I'm like, hey, leave a text message. And it's their assistant calling. It's not gonna happen, and I would be professionally in a very bad situation considering the number of people I deal with who have assistants calling or whatever that would be like, well, who is this jerk?
Dude, I feel like all three of us are in the awkward position of being just this close from having full time assistants. I think we need a full time Weird Things shared real life assistant who just takes care of all.
I just stuff. Never. I don't know. I like being able to be direct. I like being able to I go to events, I go to parties. You know, you could be you'd be anybody and you could be the most sad case I've ever met, whatever like that. I'll give you my business card because I don't try to be aloof and because I'm very good at filtering and being able to give quick responses to people who I don't have time for whatever. So I want to be accessible. I don't want to be because I get emails from people my assistant got your email. We're unable to respond. And I know they don't have an assistant. They're lying, And I'm I don't want to be that. And
so
Brian, you work with staff and people. I don't,
The issue for me now is just the chunks of time. Because very often what'll happen is I have a big, gigantic, I'm on the clock, basically, chunk of time. And then I often kind of lose, and this is my own lack of focus, I lose track of I remember I got a voicemail, I need to make sure to listen to that by the end of it. It's easy for me, I find myself having my eye taken off the ball, but that's not I mean, again, this is, and this is not, I don't think that this is really much of a relevant discussion beyond me just being rude and discourteous to the people closest to me.
Well, no, it's time. You have a hell of a lot more time commitments than I do. I have a hell of a lot more free time than anybody I know. So, you know, I don't judge anybody really harshly compared to my ability to respond, you know, versus other people.
I mean, what's funny, now, let's turn this into a weird things topic. Could it be that the method of reaching someone is sort of a 21st century version of the Tower of Babel, where it's like we suddenly are all speaking different languages? Like, there are people who are exasperated by the time they write me an email. They're like, I sent you like 7 Facebook messages. And I'm like, well, that was dumb. I don't speak Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I barely speak email. If you wanted an answer, why didn't you hit me up on Twitter? It's like, I personally hope that people just perceive it as like, oh, well, he can't obviously check all of his social media inputs all at the same time in the same way and keep synchronized with all of them. And so, like, and the reverse of that is true, where it's like people will start off an email to me apologizing, saying, dear Brian, or whoever actually reads this, because clearly it couldn't actually be Brian Brushwood. So anyway, and then they go forward. I don't know. It seems like we all have very, like, let's do a quick in the round. Like, if somebody has a fairly simple idea that they want to ask you, what is the best way for them to do so? For me, it's Twitter, like Twitter at replies, not DMs. DMs I'll never see, but at replies, like, I almost respond to every single one of them. What about you, Justin?
Well, but that's also a very certain kind of communication, right? Like, and you know, for me, probably the easiest ways are email. In terms of like mass, like people wanting to email me that don't know me personally, the easiest is text.
No.
You know, because especially now with the Apple Watch, like I can usually like simple back and forth. Like I can, it's made easier with the watch. But in terms of people in general, like just want to get in touch with me, probably email. I've been trying. I have made a goal over the last like probably 6 months to try to be at or as close to email zero as possible for both my business and my personal emails, just because it's like, again, it's things just get lost and I just never find them under the pile if I don't deal with it as immediately as possible.
Andrew, like somebody wants to give you something. They're like, I made a bust of you in out of foam core and I want to send it to you. What's the best way for that to get on your radar?
Well, it's going to be email, because like Twitter, a lot of stuff gets by me. I try to pay attention to Twitter, but a lot of stuff goes by me.
Man, not me. Twitter. Yeah, a world where...
Well, but you are then... And this is, I guess, the more interesting future thinking element of it. Like, you're shaping what you want people to talk to you about.
That's interesting. No. Like, for example,
because you are saying if Twitter is your preferred way of people communicating to you, you want 140 character messages.
No. What's funny is I don't even know that that's the case. I don't want to shape how I want people to communicate me. I'm saying that is the highest percentage. If what you want is for me to, number one, acknowledge that you wrote me something and get some kind of response, a format that inherently limits it to 140 characters is the perfect way to do it. Because then I can say, yes, this is awesome. I would like to do it. I will confirm. I'm working on it. Send me an email reminder and then I'll get to it eventually. But the problem is people send emails and then they're surprised when 8 hours later I haven't responded, or 2-3 days later I haven't responded. Because the problem is if you're issue is complex enough, it'll just sit there and ferment in the inbox for too long.
I hear what you're saying. I guess a lot of correspondence I deal with is stuff that wouldn't be appropriate for out in public too, not in a salacious way, but I know what you're saying. And I think that if somebody sends me this big long, I'm a magician, I want to know, and then when I was 12 and my grandfather, I'm like I want to be as compassionate as I can, but I don't have enough hours in the day. And like Facebook, like my Facebook inbox is filled with, like, and particularly every time the show airs in another country, you know, people who think I'm really magical and want, like, and so it just gets to be.
Oh, by the way, I have an analog for that because I was thinking how fascinating it is that every time that your show comes out in another international market, people ask you to use your wizard powers for various things. I've got one guy who has emailed me like 7 times saying, I want to hack into my neighbor's Wi-Fi. Will you help me? Will you help me, Brian? I need Sounds to hack great. Into my neighbor's Wi-Fi over and over and over and over again.
Sounds totally not dodgy at all. Yeah, it's only going to get better from there, Brian. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I want to be accessible. I want to be that. I remember what it's like to be around people who had accomplished things or done things thought were interesting, who kind of put on airs or stuff like that. And I don't want to be that guy. But also, I get this will be after things, and we will do weird things after things.
Okay, right on. We'll reverse it. I like this.
So I go to I've been to 2 parties, right? I go to a party Thursday. It's a pre-Comic-Con party. A friend of mine brought me, Steve Sears. Steve is a really neat guy. He was a showrunner, writer for Xena and other stuff, and just, you know, been in the trenches, been all that sort of stuff. So he gets invited to these cool things, and so I'll go on, you know, as his guest. And I've been to a couple of these events with him, and you're there, and people come up to you like, hey, how are you? Good. What do you do? And it's not it's like, I want to know what people do, but the tent is sort of like, what can you do for me? You know?
Right.
And it is, and sometimes you're afraid to say, like, I was walking from one point to another to one other one, like, somebody walks up and goes, what do you do? Or the guy goes up and goes, are you a producer? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking, like, yeah, technically on contracts, I'm a producer and a produced. I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, this is points to some Russian kid. This is the Russian dragon, so and so, you know, and hands me this business card and all that. You know, put him in your movie. I go, well, I don't do that end of it. I just, you know, content development, whatever. Like, oh, okay. Anyhow, gets me his card. And I'm like, well, that's an approach, you know.
I actually I got business cards made for the first time in about a decade. And I kind of regret it because once I ran out of my old business cards, I was forced to, if I cared about an interaction, I had to do that moment where it's like, I don't have any business cards. Can I send you a text and you send it to me? And then you get in, you do this little dance where you're in the their address books. With the business card, you run into the temptation to be all like, oh, so anyway, this is me. Put that in your pile of garbage so you throw it away next week, you know?
Yeah, I do. So if I talk to, and we're getting along, we're interested, you know, professionally or whatever, and we're clicking, I'll be like, hey, I pop open my contact thing. Hey, put your contact info here. Let me do that. If I'm talking to somebody casual, like, oh, that's cool. I'll give them a business card. I'll give, like, I never want to be the guy that goes, I don't have it. I don't want to be like that. And because I'm very good at, you know, people, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I don't have the time. I can't do that, but that sounds cool or whatever. I have no problem doing that because it's honest and it's sincere and it comes from that point and it's not a judgmental point of view.
Is it kind of odd that there's been no, like there are digital business cards, but yet it's not a thing. It's not like to the level in which business cards are thought of as status symbols and, you know, communication, you know, vehicles. Like there's really no smart, effective, commonly understood digital equivalent of that. Like as many years as we've had personal devices and cell phones and stuff like that.
I suspect that's actually important and inherent. I think it's a Dunbar's number type thing because it's like, let's say there was a solution to that, and all of a sudden we could have so many different interactions to so many different people, and we could add people to our phone infinitely. I mean, I already, like, every single phone number that's in my phone is one that I entered manually, and I encounter all these people who I used to care about, and they're listed at jobs that they no longer have, and people I'll never see again, but I can't bring myself to I mean, there are literally dead people that I can't bring myself to undelete their information from. And so it's like, the answer, of course, is, well, let's get, you know, an AI, you know, kind of filtering system to separate the people who are truly important to you so you get closer to Dunbar's number. But at that point, really all you're doing is doing the equivalent of what Andrew was trying to avoid, which is setting up a barrier, a guardian, somebody to filter, you know, and create this artificial distance between you and the people that maybe you should consider reaching out to.
The upside is that as the world becomes more flat, it becomes more flat. And the downside is that it's so much easier. I think of the number of people I've met in the last 4 days that I've had conversations with that are interesting or whatever like that. And it could be that probably more than I had like in a year, Facebook, all this other stuff, or living in LA and all that stuff. And so it becomes a lot easier. And it big problem is like, as you point out, we're programmed by evolution to be able to stay in touch and keep contact with a much smaller group of people.
You know what's funny?
We're required to interact with far more.
This, and again, we're venturing back into weird things category. I really look forward to the days of having augmented reality assisting me with names and so on, because it was embarrassing and astonishing to go to a family reunion and to see people who literally I've known since birth and not be able to access their names or which of my cousins they were born of or whatever. And there's that asymmetry. And, I think the three of us are a little bit more familiar with it, and that we're, loud extroverts, doing their thing on the internet. But man, the ability to have some parity in that regard can't happen fast enough, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'll tell you, I wish we would all just wear name tags. I feel like that would be a great fashion.
Yes. No, absolutely. And in fact, like, if you have done enough conferences, you get annoyed the moment you see a lanyard end in a V, because if it's in a V, there's a 50-50 chance that their name tag is flipped around one side or the other. Like, the pros, the people who want effective conferences, all know that you got to have one tag on each corner. And so that your name always is out in front, and you can wait for that discreet moment to glance down and get their name and remember where you know them from.
Yeah. I wonder what will happen as we live longer lives, I've been thinking, toying around with an idea of a story, and one of the elements I wanted to put in. Oh, for weird things, Justin, did you see Ex Machina?
No.
All right. We're going to talk about it. We'll explain the whole movie to you.
Yeah. We haven't too weird things to that. But I was thinking of some ideas, thinking about thoughts about what's it going to be like 20 years from now? 20 years from now, what are we going to be? And I think that a big thing that I think we're going to do is you're going to have, you see this now in a small form, but you're going to have no cell phone zones and parties. You're going to have this leave the outside out here. Not every party, but I think a lot of leave the outside out there, come in here, everybody just sort of unplug and be like this.
I don't dispute that that will happen, but I suspect that there'll never be a moment where it's socially appropriate universally to announce nobody use your cell phones. Instead, it'll just be universally considered like picking your nose in public, where it's like it's so obviously gross to be at a party and talking on a phone. Excuse yourself.
Yeah, I mean, in some parties, it'd be totally cool. Like, I go to some parties where people chill out and some people on the phone, and it's cool, and it's like that. And then other times, you're like, oh, you know what? Let's you think about when people want to do, like, I go to this Montana retreat every year, and they finally put internet in there, and that frustrated a lot of the older guard and some of the other people. They were upset that they had internet. They added internet. And I understood what their frustration was because they liked the idea of you being in the middle of Montana, leave the rest of the world apart. But the people who are the most angry were trust fund babies, because they had assistants and people like that to go handle the world for them, and they could go away for a week. And the rest of us were like, the difference between me being able to come here and not come here is me being able to check email for 30 minutes a day.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And I think that's a thing that needs to be a consideration. But I certainly think that I think that we're going to see things experientially. You're going to get the idea of, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to go on a rafting trip. We'll have an emergency beacon thing around our wrist in case something happens. But other than that, we're not going to bring all that with us, because when we go back, we'll have the augmented stuff. We'll have all these things, but we want to live like people for a little while.
Man,
then I don't
know.
Like people plus.
It's like people really get off on doing that. Like it's a big fat novel thing. I don't see what's so great about it. I don't.
You like the cut off from technology thing?
Yeah, no, I to be
or
honest,
like outdoors.
I
a little
I
bit
like
of column
both.
A, a little
I
bit
like
of column
both,
B.
But like my most creative time for me is when I when I go for my walks, I don't check my emails. I don't do any of this. I'm not worried about getting back to it. And I have much more longer thoughts and story structures and things like that. I don't need to do that all the time.
It just
sometimes.
So many of the people who are into that unplugged movement and they wear it on their sleeve. And it's like, I mean, I absolutely adore Baratunde Thurston, but every year I roll my eyes when he loudly announces that he's going to unplug for 2 whole weeks or whatever. It's like, yeah, good for you. I mean, it's like you're doing it because you want to feel the experience of isolation. To you, it's a meditation or whatever. You know, don't act like you're doing some kind of religion. It feels religious-y to me, and I don't like it.
I understand. I mean, I've thought about it, but not that way, but just more of like, hey, please don't get pissed if you don't hear from me. I'm going to spend a week not waking up worried about checking
Twitter. That's fine. What you do is you set up like an auto reply or whatever. It's like, you're like, hey, guy.
I'm on a religious retreat.
Yeah, the religion is I don't want to listen to anyone.
I totally get what you're saying. I look at it, because I'm not like an anti, but I do go, like, I do think that there, I think we will have a value for being able to go, okay, let's spend, you know, like when your dad took you out back and taught you some skills and stuff, survival stuff or things like that. You're never going to need this, but it's good to have that.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. And there's certainly, and I guess maybe I'm in a weird space because I just came out of a week of having experienced that. You know, it was a week where we did this family reunion and I didn't make it a big announcement. And there was a question that I had where I was like, oh, should I have been one of those guys that sets up an email autoresponder that says, I will be out of the office. I will be slow on responding to emails or whatever. And I'm like, no, whatever. Who cares? If it's important, it'll be just as important when I get back 4 days from now. And if it's truly important, then they'll figure out a way to, I don't know, dial the 10 digits of my phone number to call me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, but a lot of that is really dictated by the industry that you're in. And you know, there are, you know, this is like for what I do for the Go game, like it is a client, like the email needs to come in as much as the client needs it to come in, you know? So it's like an email autoresponder is kind of like, that's just good hygiene because you need to manage the expectations of the people who are keeping the lights on. You have your position. I think you have more freedom to do it because at the end of the day, if it's something insane, you know, then people are, then when you see it, you know, you'll wind up forwarding it on to John, you know, to like, you have other people that are in key core positions that can make stuff happen. And anything that you are on the hook for, you can either take the time out of your day or forward it on and say, hey, John, can you just keep this ball in the air until I get back?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, to go back to the unplugging thing, like, man, it's like it's business out here in California, and it does have the whiff of maybe not religious in my mind, but certainly a new age fad kind of element. But I do think there is something there. I don't know about buying the T-shirt that says, like, look at me, I'm unplugged man, but. I mean, I think that there's something to it. I think that, you know, it's all about understanding, you know, knowing thyself and just doing it. I think it's more, Brian, for you, it's the announcement, right? It's the identity of that. Because as long as I've known Andrew in a modern new media age, you know, he's taken walks and he's turned off his phone, you know, or he's turned off his phone and turned off and closed Twitter to write, you know, and that is just protecting this element that, you know, is important and he wants that focus on. And I don't think anybody would say, like, well, that's fucked up.
I put it in the same category as fasting, right? It's fine. If you're going to fast, if you're going to not eat during the day, if you're going to go 3 days without eating or do a liquid diet or any of that crap, that's all fine, right? But when you announce it to the world and you throw your arms up and you say, look how great I am because I'm eating spirulina.
Well, but I mean, also, like, I mean, there's so much of that effing culture out there, too, you know, and that's a thing that just this, it's like, I quit it. It's like tattoos. You know, what I don't feel internally, I'm going to display externally, you know, to convince myself of.
Hold on. That's a great phrase. Say that again. Let me process this. What I don't feel internally, I express externally.
Yeah, I'm going to express it externally, you know, to try to convince you and convince myself.
Okay, I really, really want the new game to be for everyone who's listening.
You want that tattoo?
No. actually, that, number one, that would be a great tattoo. Number two, especially because we got to wrap up and actually start Weird Things proper. Do you guys want to end with this challenge of find us tattoos and tweet us at Schwood, at Justin R. Young, at Andrew Main, with examples of what you think fits that category? What I don't feel,
man,
internally.
I have a lot of thoughts about tattoos, and I have a lot of friends that have tattoos, and I would really like to not get into a tattoo conversation because, man, do I have a lot of strong thoughts about them. I don't think it benefits. Man, I'm a crappy friend now when it comes to like listening to voicemails. The last thing I need right now is to just burn bridges with people. Because, again, criticizing, like, I have a lot that I can criticize about tattoo culture. I have a lot that I can criticize about tattoos. I have a lot that I think I have seen and evidence, anecdotal evidence, for which I can say these things are certain, they're reactions of certain behaviors. But even if somebody who had a tattoo agreed with me, that's permanent or very expensive to get off. Well, and it's not just making a comment about, hey, you wear, I make fun of Brett because he wears clever t-shirts and I make fun of him. And it's you know, it's funny. It's me getting under his skin. And that's a hilarious thing. He can just stop buying clever t-shirts. it's not like making fun of somebody's tattoo.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll press pause on that, but we'll
dial back. But to the point of, like, I get, like, the thing that gets me is there's this, you know, like, I don't think you'll ever find me rip into anything on Twitter. You know, I don't think in my Facebook, I'm never going to tell people that I'm depressed or I'm this or that. I'm never going to make these big.
But what's funny is that's exactly what I was going to say to Justin is that what we find horrific about tattoos is what many people find horrific about the way we make our living, you know, by just bearing our soul. It's like, yeah, like, for example, Justin and I can never undo the childish meltdown we had a year and change ago live on the air. Like, that is a tattoo that cannot be erased from that particular episode of Scam School, of Night Attack. And likewise, you know, the three of us have argued and have misheard each other on you know, bizarre science fiction issues. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like in many ways that would be more horrific to some people than a tattoo that they would later regret.
Quite possibly.
But I mean, that also is like, you know, that we've opened a door and we've let people watch a thing that would just as easily happen if we're all sitting around talking about stuff and getting upset over the stupid, most trivial things in the world. And I think part of it was like, it took me a while to get comfortable with that because you guys were way ahead of the curve. It took me for a while to be uncomfortable with the idea, okay, I'm going to let people see me when I get angry. I'm going to let people see me when I'm short-tempered and all that. And I had to come to the point like, well, it's going to be more interesting. And I know people know I like you guys. People know that I like people and that I will be able to survive that because it's never that angry, never that. But it can be short or whatever. But I said, you know what, for an audience that comes into that's fine. But like on Facebook, I guess it's different sort of like, you know, like Facebook is frustrating for me because sometimes you see people passive aggressively. They're trying to tell one person this thing. Oh, when people don't call and this, it's like, effing call the person you're talking about, you know? And then, politics sure. And stuff. I get, you know, one person's like, oh, well, you know, if you're this person, I'm going to unfollow you. If you're this person, I'm going to unfollow you. I'm like, If I like you as a person, I don't care about your politics, and I probably won't remind you how childish you are about it, you know? But some people can't handle that, you know?
Man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling warmed up. This is a good before things, right?
Before things.
All right, now it's time.
All right, hold on. Let's wrap this up. I got to listen to a few voicemails before we start the show.
Gentlemen, it's been before.
It's been before.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.